This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I am thrilled to be here today. We will be off for Independence Day, so we're going to start celebrating the best country on planet Earth a little bit early this year. And we'll have some fun bumpers for you, some fun clips.
Take that, Canada Day. You lose.
You lose. We will be having a ton of fun today. You're welcome to join us. 844-500-4242 is the number. Again, that's 844-500-4242. We'll be taking calls all day long today. And we definitely have some important stories to get to. The one that stuck out to me the most this morning, Jared, had to do with a former CNN Plus star, which I know sounds like an oxymoron. But when CNN
shooting star, maybe
when CNN Plus was on, Jared, it was
collapsing star.
It was something else. It was something to behold. You know, there generations that come after us won't understand the magical greatness that was CNN Plus. It only was here for a short time, but it was here for a good time. And one of their former stars, and I guess he's a basketball player, Rex Chapman.
Yeah, I remember him with the Phoenix Suns back in the 90s, actually.
You know what, Jared? Just because I'm feeling so crazy today, it's Friday, I'm all jacked up, I've got a spray tan, I had a macchiato this morning, I got my hair done, I'm ready to roll, I feel like Howard Dean at the microphone. Woo! Let's do a little Sports Go Sports, because...
Sports Go Sports!
Why not?
Athletics are number one! Go team, yeah!
You basically just did it, but tell us again who he is.
Rex Chapman is a former NBA player. He played for a couple different teams. I remember him mostly with the Suns. I think he was there during the end of the Barkley years.
Okay. Now, and somehow he is on CNN Plus, yeah, or he was on CNN Plus, obviously past tense.
Yeah, he kind of did the Pat McAfee thing where he transitioned to having a Twitter presence, even though Pat McAfee has a show. But Rex Chapman had a Twitter presence, which was kind of schizophrenic, shall we say, it seemed for a while. It was, oh, this is a pretty conservative guy. And then it was like, oh, no, he's not.
No.
And
no,
now
no.
It's like, oh, no, he's just a crazy guy now.
He's crazy. And he's openly racist on Twitter. And I have to say, even for liberals, and I'm trying after we had June calling
every
yesterday.
Liberal except June.
If you heard June yesterday, he's a Democrat, listens to the show. He said, don't paint with the broad brush. Don't say Democrats. So I will say, even for far left radicals in this country, I'm going to say that Rex Chapman blew them out of the water with his tweets last night. I have never seen such openly racist tweets, not even pretending to have some sort of, you know, alternate meaning. He was just proud to be racist. So I'm going to read you these. We're not going to spend too much time on it in the beginning, only because we have a great guest who I've had on before, Darvio Morrow. He's going to join the show in the 1 o'clock hour to break this down. He was livid about these tweets, and I don't blame him. If you thought Joe Biden telling Charlemagne the God, you ain't black if you don't vote for me, was bad, Rex Chapman said, hold my beer, because I'm about to blow that out of the water. So he has this video of Clarence Thomas. And by the way, you know how I should really start this? Was the fact that Good Morning America yesterday tweeted out that Ketanji Brown Jackson was the first black Supreme Court justice in history. If you didn't know, she was sworn in yesterday, and Good Morning America decides to put out this tweet. I can't I would love to say it's a mistake, that it's some moronic staffer, some aide to a big celeb there who just tweeted it out, who got a hold of the account. But I'm starting to feel like this is becoming a pattern.
Racism.
This is not the first time that this mistake, using air quotes, this mistake has been made. Mistakes were made. And I think that what Good Morning America and Rex Chapman and all these other liberal outlets are trying to get at is, if you do not support what they support, what liberals support, then they don't consider you to be black. That's the only way I can really make out the meaning behind this. So Good Morning America tweets it up. They leave it up for 5 hours. If I made a spelling error, if Howie asked me to tweet something out and I made a spelling error, it would be off of Twitter within 30 minutes, maybe. And it would only be up that long if Howie was distracted by the microwave cooking something up, making one of his weirdo trash can nachos. Otherwise, it'd be out probably in 5 minutes. The fact that this was up, they say she's the first black Supreme Court justice. Clarence Thomas, Thurgood Marshall, there's been two. She's the third. And the fact that it's up for 5 hours, is someone getting fired? Is someone even getting like a strongly worded letter or an email or brought into an office to ask, did you not know this or did you not run this by anyone? I mean, I understand that there's no editors nowadays, but you figure Good Morning America, that's a big Twitter account. Can you look them up, Jared, see how many followers they have? 5 hours. So naturally they get blasted online. But Rex Chapman's was so much worse because he can't say, oh, sorry, I made a mistake. So let's go through this. He puts up this video, right?
They have 3.7 million followers.
Who are all retweeting it. Yes! Awesome! History being made! Ignorance is bliss, if you follow Good Morning America. But Rex Chapman tweets out a video, and he says, the time Justice Clarence Thomas attended the graduation event of Christendom? Is that how it's said? Christendom? I'm not sure how it's pronounced. College students, along with late Justice Antonin Scalia's son in 2018. Not another person of color in the picture. Such a champion, LOL. So here's Clarence Thomas. He's with all these graduates. They're all beaming with excitement that he's there, and he's smiling. And that makes him not a champion. And I don't know what kind of champion. Is it a champion for black people that Rex Chapman doesn't think he is? So he says, such a champion, LOL. And if you're hearing this and you're saying, oh, Grace, that's not that bad. It gets way worse. This is still Rex Chapman. I think the thing I think is most funny. First of all, let's just talk about that. I think the thing I think is most funny about this is that these white kids and their parents view this as their entry into black America. Keep in mind, this man who's criticizing all these white kids for taking a photo with Clarence Thomas is white. I feel like Elaine in the Seinfeld episode when George Costanza says, I can't go on a date with her, she's bald. And he's got the toupee on. And Elaine says, you're bald. And he says, correction, I was bald. By the way, Rex Chapman, also bald. But that's a whole separate thing. He's white. He's white. And he's acting like he's black. And he's the authority to say, who else is black? Who's black enough for him? And Clarence Thomas doesn't make the cut because he's taking a photo with white graduates. Okay. Then he goes on. Clarence Thomas would last 20 to 30 seconds in an NBA locker room. Why have you never seen Clarence Thomas at an NBA game, as in ever? Bill Clinton used to come to our games with the Bullets. Clarence Thomas, never. He also went on to show photos of Clarence Thomas with his wife, who's white. And, you know, there was some implication there that that was to be mocked, the fact that his wife is white. So I don't know if Rex Chapman's also against interracial marriage. I'm trying to figure this out. But to make this claim that because Clarence Thomas doesn't go to NBA games, he's not a champion of black people, is there's no other way to describe it except for saying that he's a racist. That's the only way I could describe it. How else do you come to that conclusion? This is the new test to figure out if someone's black enough. Do they go to NBA games, according to Rex Chapman? It is egregiously offensive. And Darby Omoro is going to talk to us about this. I couldn't even wrap my head around that. I didn't plan on talking about that at the beginning, but I just had to because it's that bad.
I don't understand any of the words, like, this trying to get into black America?
An entry into black America.
What does that even mean?
And this is something that's very unique to arguing if you're a liberal, is I would never in my wildest dreams, Jared, if someone called up or if I was having a conversation with a person and I disagreed with them, I would never think to challenge their race or to challenge whether or not they are black enough or white enough or Asian, whatever it is. That would never cross my mind because it's racist to do that. But this is the scary thing about the left right now, is that they really do feel like the ends justify the means. And if you're on the right side of things, that means, you know, you want to codify Roe versus Wade, or you want the EPA to decide to do whatever they want to companies to save the planet, to stop the, what was it, the Kagan wrote, to stop the sea from swallowing the coast or the coast from swallowing the sea. I can't remember any of those things. As long as it's on the path to what they want, you can do and say and act in any way you please. And there are no repercussions. There are no apologies required because the ends justify the means. And they think their moral cause exempts them from all of this. They have a carte blanche to do whatever they want and to treat people however they want. And to demean Clarence Thomas, who is a great American, who is brilliant, and to act like he isn't black enough for Rex Chapman to accept him because he has never been to an NBA game. I'm without speech on that one. It infuriates me. 844-500-4242. We'll be talking about this. I also want to talk about global warming because there's this hysterical story about this group, these vigilantes. There's nothing like vigilante Greta Thunbergs, and they've hit the Upper East Side and they're slashing tires, and we're going to talk about it. 844-500-4242.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
No, the Tire Extinguishers, that's the name of the group. They are not about the blah, blah, blah. They are all about action. And we'll cover this. We have so much more to get to when we come back. Call in, weigh in, don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
I brought to you courtesy of red, white, and blue.
Hello, everyone, and a happy Independence Day. I know we're a few days early, but it's never too early to celebrate the U.S. of A. And I want to switch gears here to a quote that was bugging me today. I couldn't remember where I had read this, and Howie finally figured it out for me. There is no crueler tyranny than that which is perpetuated under the shield of law and in the name of justice. And the reason I was thinking about this was because I kept thinking about the liberal mentality of the ends justify the means. It doesn't matter how racist I am. It doesn't matter how cruel I am. It doesn't matter how extreme I am. It doesn't matter how disrespectful I am, as long as I'm fighting for the right cause. And that's a real slippery slope of a mentality to have. And we saw that with Rex Chapman, but it plays into everything the left is doing right now. You look at the Supreme Court and the decisions they've made over the last few days, and I brought this up yesterday, but take the Remain in Mexico policy, for example. They've given Biden the green light to get rid of it. And I don't like that decision. I don't think we should pack the Supreme Court or expand. What do you prefer, Jared, word-wise, pack or expand? I like pack better.
Yeah, pack. It's less nonsense. It gets right to the heart of the
matter. They want to pack the Supreme Court or abolish it. They want to abolish it. So earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, they wanted to pack the Supreme Court to counteract the Roe versus Wade decision, to overturn Roe versus Wade. And now this week, they want to abolish it to save the planet. They want to abolish the Supreme Court to save the planet because of the court's decision regarding the EPA. So every day it changes. You got to keep your head on a swivel. It goes a million miles a minute. And it's hard to keep up. So Kagan has this dissent about the court's decision on the EPA. And there's really no desire by the left. It's almost like they're giving the court more credit than they're due. Now, bear with me. This is what I mean. They like to claim that what the Supreme Court is doing is these outlandish things. Here's an example. Rolling Stone headline. Supreme Court rules 6-3 that the planet should burn. Is that an honest... And I know it's a Rolling Stone. I know the tousle-haired boy and all that kind of thing. What do they call them? The tousle-haired...
Tussle-haired.
Okay, yeah.
I would like to see that in an actual SCOTUS decision.
It's ridiculous. And they say it with a straight face. Supreme Court rules 6-3 that the planet should burn. Okay.
Amy Coney Barrett agrees the planet should burn.
And this is totally, obviously, nonpartisan. This is a reporter who's straight down the middle. And the Washington Examiner summed up what they really want to do. And she said, someone in the Washington Examiner wrote, the Supreme Court is saying that the EPA cannot make sweeping rules that could overhaul industries without the approval of Congress. So in other words, upholding democracy, which I've been told over and over and over again for the last few years, that democracy is hanging on by a thread, that we have to safeguard democracy. I guess we only have to safeguard democracy when they want to certify the election for Joe Biden. But in every other situation, democracy, they're not interested. They lose concern when it involves upholding the Constitution in its most basic form. And these are the same people, keep in mind, who had zero issue with the CDC issuing eviction moratoriums during the pandemic. And now they want the EPA to be able to decide what companies can and cannot do.
The planet has a fever.
So Kagan's saying that the coast will be swallowed up by the ocean. Stop me if you've heard this one before. The day after tomorrow, in other words, the big clock in Times Square that tells us we only have a few days left. And I think what we have to talk about in this first hour, and we'll take your calls. I see people getting on the lines. It's 844-500-4242. We'll talk about really whatever you want. It's Friday. We're going to have some fun. But I have to talk about this story about the British climate activists. The Redcoats are here and they are slashing tires. They went to the Upper East Side where all the fancy pantses live. You know, all the fancy...
Fancy pantaloons.
Fancy New York City moms with their fancy strollers and their fancy cars and their fancy everything. And they slash their tires. They slashed the tires of these giant SUVs. And they left notes saying, your gas guzzler kills. We'll be right back. We'll talk about this. Don't go anywhere. It's Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I have some people on the lines here. Let's go to Tom, your first stop on today's show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Grace. Thank you for taking my call. Nope. Just give you a little history about me and interracial relationships. Wife number one, met her in 83, working on a construction job, Logan Airport. The only people that gave me grief at that time were white and black liberals, that I was committing some sort of interracial perversion. And Wife number two is African American. I've lived in probably the whitest states in the country. Alaska, Washington State, and West Virginia. 1987, when I bought my home in West Virginia, small town called Marlinton. We go into a diner. It's all white people. Everyone in the diner turns their head and looks at us because we're strangers. They don't know who we are. My wife at the time from Haiti is ordering her breakfast. The waitress, who's white in her late 40s, says, "Excuse me, miss, where are you from?" And she said, "I'm from Haiti." And she says, "I had never heard that accent so before." She says, "My God, and you are so pretty." Next thing you know, there's two other waitresses there. They want to know who this pretty black girl is. There was a man that was about probably in his mid to late 70s that had on that Bear Bryant type hat that, as he left the restaurant wearing a sport coat, looked at the two of us, goes, "Sir, ma'am," leans forward, gives a tip of the cap to her. When I told friends of mine that I brought her down for the closing on the property in West Virginia, they go, "You brought her to West Virginia? Isn't that kind of dangerous?" And it just shows you this mindset of how people think with regards to that relationship. And like I said, Washington State, lived with my second wife out there for a decade, never an issue with anybody. Only when I came back here, people made issues of it, and it was the so-called tolerant people.
Right, and Tom, I thank you for sharing that story, and I was going to save this for before we have Darvio on the show, but I want to read you his thread because I think he really hit the nail on the head here. He says, "I just want to make this clear, and whoever sees it, sees it. White people are not the arbiters of who is and isn't sufficiently black. You have no right to question anybody's blackness, and to do so is to partake in the white supremacy you say you oppose. The way that you vote does not give you a pass to make racist comments to black people you disagree with. You don't get a get-out-of-racism-free card when you go to the voting booth. No political party has a monopoly on racism. You can be a racist Republican or a Democrat. But what is particularly galling to me is all of these progressives doing it. Not because it doesn't matter when some white conservatives show racism, but because you are the very ones that claim to be our allies. You think that because you have a Black Lives Matter sign in your yard, that gives you the right to say foul bleep to black people you disagree with. It is the height of hypocrisy, privilege, and supremacy to deem yourself the one that defines what is and isn't black and attack black people who do not meet your standards of what a real black person is. There are black liberals, black moderates, black conservatives, even black progressives. We have disputes and debates and arguments amongst ourselves. We do not always agree. Despite what you think in your racist little heads, we are not all monolithic. We are capable of independent thinking. And sometimes even people within those black groups disagree with one another, and sometimes it's ugly." But his major point here is that just because you vote for Joe Biden or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or any Democrat, that does not suddenly give you this shield where you can say whatever you want and you can decide who is and isn't black enough and you're going to get a pass because you vote the right way. And another person responded, if people are just catching this, Rex Chapman was going after Clarence Thomas and claiming that he's not a champion of black people because he's never been to an NBA game. And this man, he's a blue check, Delano Squires, said Clarence Thomas was born in a town founded by freedmen after the Civil War and spoke Gullah as a child. He grew up in the segregated South and went on to become the second black Supreme Court justice. Would his black experience be more authentic if he played in the NBA? And there's a lot of great responses to this. And I find it amazing that the left really doesn't care if you're racist as long as you're racist against the right people to them. And Clarence Thomas, you can be as racist as you want to be. according to how these liberals operate, because there's no pushback. And it's disappointing, especially when he's so brilliant and he's made history in so many ways. And that's always completely looked over by a lot of Democrats, not June, but a lot of Democrats. 844-500-4242. Thank you, Tom. I do want to switch gears here to what happened in New York City. And by the way, I had mentioned fancy baby strollers, and then I felt bad afterwards because it was kind of an unfortunate way to phrase it after what we saw happen this week. Just a terrible story out of New York City. And they're still figuring out what happened with the mother who was pushing a stroller in New York City. And she was shot. I think they're drilling down, and allegedly it may have something to do with she had a history of being abused by an ex, and they're looking into that. But we'll keep you posted. I know Libby Emmons was on the show yesterday, and she was furious about it, as everyone should be. It's horrible, and her mother was on TV today, and it was heartbreaking, just talking about how, you know, no one was helping them when they were trying to report what was happening to her. And she was being harassed by her ex. But just to talk a little bit about this story from New York City, I immediately went back when I was reading this. It says, British climate activists slash tires of 40 SUVs in NYC and leave leaflet, "Your gas guzzler kills." Now, their names are Tire Extinguishers, and it originated in the UK. And they say their mission is to make it impossible to own a huge polluting 4x4 in the world's urban areas. The group deflates the tires of SUVs in a bid to make owning one so inconvenient that drivers will switch to other, more environmentally friendly vehicles. When I first moved to South Boston and it snowed, I thought about moving. I've told this story before on the air. I thought about moving some of the like trash cans and stuff that people put out, mostly because I understand you dig out your spot, but sometimes there's a little bit of snow and people took that as an opportunity to throw down a trash can and have that be their spot for 6 weeks. And that drove me crazy. So I called my dad, who's from South Boston, and I said, "Dad, this is ridiculous. People just pulled out of spots and they don't even have the decency to get a beach chair to block off their spot. They're throwing down like empty bottles of Pepsi and saying that's their spot saver." And I said, "I'm just going to move it." I was looking at one of them and it was still pretty far away from my apartment. But I said, "I'm just going to move it, Dad. And I'm just going to park here." My dad said, "Don't you dare. If you move someone's spot saver in South Boston, you will wake up tomorrow with your tire slashed." And the thought of having my tire slashed was enough to make me say, "Yeah, I think I drove back to my parents' house that night and just slept over there." These climate activists they're not mad about where you're parked. They're mad about the vehicle. So they're and here's the craziest part. They don't discriminate. They'll slash the tires of electric SUVs. So you really can't win with them. And they put out a tweet because they were proud about this. They said, "Big news, Tire Extinguishers strike for the first time in New York City." It was a monumental day yesterday. 40 SUVs disarmed in the Upper East Side. The first of many. "We have an American English leaflet on our website, so USA folks, you can join in." And the leaflet says, "Attention, your gas guzzler kills. We have deflated one or more of your tires. You'll be angry, but don't take it personally. It's not you, it's your car. We did this because driving around urban areas in your massive vehicle has huge consequences for others. This is a machine that destroys life with terrifying efficiency." I always poke fun at the climate activists, not because, you know, if that's what you're passionate about, that's what you're passionate about. But because I find that their techniques to getting people on their side, to joining their fight, as they always say, you know, join our fight. I always go by the old adage, you get more bees with honey. And one of their popular tactics is to block traffic. I saw this the other, I saw a video the other day of climate activists blocking traffic somewhere. I think it was in another country. And people were so mad, like cars end up just trying to drive by and then they stand in front of the cars and you get people so ticked off. This goes right along with that. Imagine you go out to dinner. These are all, and keep in mind here, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. I would, if I was a betting woman, which I'm not, I would bet that a lot of these people. SUVs in the Upper East Side that were parked there belong to limousine liberals who love Joe Biden and support paying their fair share and donate to all sorts of great climate activist causes. And so they come out of dinner at a Craig's or wherever you go in New York, I don't know, and they come out and their tires are slashed and they have this letter. Like they're supposed to be happy about it. You'll be angry, but don't take it personally. It's not you, it's your car. Oh, okay, never mind then. I'm not that mad.
That is the most British terrorism I think I've ever seen.
Top of the morning to ya.
I say, Jeremy, isn't that Reginald B. Stiffworth, the young upstart chap who's been touting the merits of a united European Commonwealth?
Why, yes, I dare say that's the fellow.
Oh, let's get him. Oh, Reginald! I disagree!
And people on Twitter are having fun with this. People need to remember that their actions, even if they feel they are morally correct decisions, still have consequences, which brings me back to that quote that I just read. There is no crueler tyranny than that which is perpetuated under the shield of law and in the name of justice. And I use that a little bit more in broader terms here, but people who think they're doing something morally virtuous are the craziest people to deal with, because there's nothing you can say like, oh, that's my property. You destroyed my property. It was worth it. All in the name of Mother Earth. You can't derail them from their cause.
That manifest destiny that they have in their head, that this is their purpose. They're right.
Yeah.
They're, you know.
You can boil it down to the ends justify the means, and whether that means be whether the means are saving the planet or getting rid of Donald Trump or saving Roe versus Wade. I mean, that's why so much of how the Democrats frame all of these issues is it's life or death. It's the end. This will kill women. This will kill the planet. This will suck the ocean up into the coast. They love to have this disastrous theme to all of these issues because it promotes this idea that I need to be dangerous. I need to be extreme. I need to destroy your property. I need to say you're not black enough. I need to insult you. I need to get in your face. I need to confront you at a restaurant. I need to defriend you on Facebook. I need to get you thrown out of your job and canceled from society because this is at risk. The climate is at risk. Abortion is at risk. All of these things. And they convince their base that this is an appropriate way to react. Slashing tires in New York City. Dave, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Grace. I just have a feeling that these tire extinguishers are driving around a car, wasting gas, slashing tires on parked cars.
Well, Dave, I'll actually do you one better because another person on Twitter, Mo Cap, put it really well. He said, so to fight global warming, you deflated the tires on 40 vehicles, and now 40 tow trucks will be heading out to replace these tires. I'm not a carbon footprint genius, but you increased it exponentially based on the size and fuel consumption of the tow trucks. And then another person didn't waste any time and wrote back,
exponentially.
May I suggest you target Escalades in and around Harlem? That should be fun. Bring a camera. And I feel the same way about Southie. You try to pull this in Southie. Show up to Southie and start slashing the tires of SUVs. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to roll. I just don't think it's going to work out for you. Would it be legal? Let's read one more of these here. As much as I dislike the use of cars over public transit, destroying private property, causing more pollution by damaging tires and creating more waste is actually very counterproductive. Instead, try making transit and biking more appealing than driving. Oh, try making things better? I don't think so. There's too much at stake here. The stakes are too damn high to be worried about creating a persuasive argument. We got to slash some tires.
But we're angry now.
No, we need to. This is all part of the do something. Democrat Party, do something. They did something. I don't know if people are gonna like it.
A poke and a pint, I say.
844-500-4242. We'll continue to take your calls on this. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at G underscore Curly.
Oh, yeah. All right. Take it easy, baby. Make it last all night. She was an American girl.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Grace Curly Show store. Are you heading to the Cape this summer? Save on your stay by purchasing a $200 voucher to Holiday Vacation Condominiums in West Yarmouth for just $100. That's half off. Get your voucher today at gracecurlyshow.com and click store. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's the best part of the barbecue? Hot dog, hamburger, cold beer, sides, or ice cream?
Cold beer. I was going to say hot dog or hamburger, but no, it's cold beer.
Cold beer is in the lead. Oh, I'm sorry. Cold beer is second at 31%.
Let me guess. Hot dog's number one.
Hamburger is number
one
at 36%. 21% for hot dog, 9% for sides, and a scant 3% for ice cream.
Makes me want a hot dog real bad. You look like the 4th of July. Dan, you're up next. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to talk a little bit about the hypocrisy of some of these activists, like these abortion activists, as well as the climate change ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why aren't they slashing the tires of all these private jets that are flying to these meetings to try to fight climate change? Why aren't they slashing their tires? Why aren't they throwing eggs at these mansions that these people are building and having by the ocean and using all this electricity? Because they're all hypocrites. They don't really live by what they say they want to do. And as far as the pro-abortion activists, they think it's all about women, but they don't seem to notice that the people who claim they're fighting for women's rights are the same people that won't let women have privacy in their bathrooms because they're allowing men to go in there, and they're also allowing these men to compete against women so that they don't get scholarships in sports. And they're also supporting this abortion. If anyone knows anything about abortion, they know that women by far, by the millions, tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions, I don't know, I'd have to look at the figures again, globally are killed. Unborn baby girls are killed more than men are because of selective abortion.
Well, you just pointed out so many hypocrisies. I don't think any tire should be slashed whatsoever, but another one you forgot was Obama installing a propane tanks in Martha's Vineyard. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Can I get out of here, please?